I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John. Brother Allgood had read some verses this morning, and he read some verses in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. So I won't read those again, but I will read two verses that'll get us started today. John chapter 4, look at verse number 13. Verse 13 says this, "Jesus answered and said unto her," that was a Samaritan woman, "said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I want to preach a message this morning. It's not a long message, but it's a message that's on my heart. I want to preach a message entitled, "Something's Missing." Something's missing. And now the video that I was going to play for you, it was a minute and a half video of a man by the name of Tom Brady. I'm sure many of you know who Tom Brady is, a professional football player, and who's got more money than you can probably imagine. And he's married to a wife that has more money than you can imagine. And they have everything in this life that you can probably imagine. And they've got money and fame and homes and cars. And then this video, I'll show it to you sometime if you want to know it. But basically the video was this. He said he was having an interview on 60 Minutes. And he was interviewed, and he was being interviewed, and he said, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings? And I've got everything that I ever wanted. This is my dream. I have everything I ever wanted. I can't think of anything else I could ever want. But he's like, why do I feel there's something missing? There's something out there, greater out there, but I don't know what it is. In the interview, the gentleman that was interviewing him said, well, what is it? What's missing? He said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. And I could see it in his eyes. He said, I wish I knew what it was. I don't know what's missing in my life. Well, I'll tell you what's missing in his life. This is Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps you sit here this morning, you're in this building for some reason, and something is missing in your life. You can't pinpoint it. You don't know what it is, but something is missing. Jesus gave an example in the Bible of the Samaritan woman. She comes to Jesus, but something is missing in her life. And Jesus was on his way from Judea to Galilee. And the Bible says in our passage there, verse number 3, John chapter 4, 3 says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. So he was on his way in Judea in the south to Galilee in the north, where he spent most of his earthly life. And he was on his way, and right in the middle, if you look at a map, right in the middle on his way to Galilee is Samaria. And so he said, I must needs go through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria to get to Galilee, to where I'm going. And on the east side of where he goes was the Jordan River. So, and then on the west side was the Mediterranean Ocean. So he had no way. He had to go through Samaria, but he had a greater purpose. He needed to go through Samaria for a greater purpose that day, because something was missing in a lady's life. And that's what an encounter that happened. And the only logical way was to go through Samaria. And so this was not a good place, really, for Jews to go through. The Jews and the Samaritans were not by any means, they were not friends at all. They were enemies. But Jesus went through there that day. It wasn't pleasant, but he went through. In 1 Corinthians 5:10 says this, "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." It's saying, you're going to encounter people in your life, in this world that you're going to have to go through on your journey to heaven. If you're a Christian, you're going to encounter people that are not necessarily good to get along with, or not necessarily a time that you want to spend with people. But you got to go through it. You got to go through it, and you got to be an example, and you got to tell them about Jesus, and tell them what's missing in their life. But Jesus had a goal that day. Something was missing in this Samaritan's life. This Samaritan woman's life, something was missing. Something will always be missing in your life until you have Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. Something will always be missing. And something will always be missing, number one, regardless of your status. Regardless of your status, something will always be missing. What do you mean? Well, in John chapter 3, it's a famous chapter where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He comes to Jesus, and Nicodemus, in John 3, he was rich, he was powerful, he was dignified, he was a master in Israel, and it said that he was one of the most three powerful men in all of Israel. He was one of the three most powerful, and he had everything he wanted, and he came to Jesus in John chapter 3, and you remember later on in John chapter 3 where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He was rich. So regardless of your status, something is missing in your life unless you have Jesus Christ in it. Regardless of your status, we'll move on to chapter 4. It's the Samaritan woman. She was poor. She was living in adultery. And because Jesus said, "Where's your husband?" She said, I don't have a husband." And Jesus said that you answered correctly. You don't. And so she was poor. She was living in adultery. She was an outcast. The Bible says that she came about the sixth hour to come get water from the well. And she came. She couldn't come in the morning time. She couldn't come in the evening time when it was cooler because she was an outcast. She would be looked down upon. And she came at that sixth hour, at the heat of the day. That's noon. That's noon. She came at the heat of the day and to come and draw water because she was an outcast. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, verse 4, he says this: "How can a man be born when he is old?" He had three questions. He said, "How can a man be born when he is old?" And verse 9 says, "How can these things be?" Well, I was looking at Nicodemus and this Samaritan woman. So regardless of your status, something was missing. I see Nicodemus, he came to Jesus and he asked him three questions. Well, the Samaritan woman, she came in John chapter 4. She came in verses 9, 11, and 12. She had three questions for Jesus. She couldn't understand. And Nicodemus couldn't understand. And when Jesus said, "You must be born again," Nicodemus said, "What are you talking about? How can I enter my mother's womb a second time? That doesn't make sense." Well, it doesn't make sense. If something is missing in your life, Jesus won't make sense to you. They both had an encounter with Jesus. They both had three questions. And without Jesus, I'll say this, without Jesus, there's going to be confusion in your life. Amen. There will be confusion in your life without Jesus. Tom Brady said, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings? And still think there's something out there greater for me?" I wish he could sit here and I'd say, "Mr. Brady, there is something greater out there for you. There's Jesus Christ. He'll change your life. He'll transform your life." Verse 13, I love this. In verse 13 it says, "Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again." You can have it all. You can have everything in this life that you want, but it will eventually dry up. It eventually dry up. And Jesus said, "Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again." Why are there so many suicides among the wealthy today? I think about that. I think about a football player named Junior Seau within the last year or so. Couldn't handle it. Killed himself. Corey Monteith, you may have heard of the actor. Killed himself. Or overdosed, whatever it is. He couldn't cope with his life. But something is missing. Heath Ledger, you know the actor probably. Mindy McCready, a country singer you probably have heard of. There's so many people out there, and there's people that are not famous that are killing themselves because something is missing in their life. Regardless of your status, Nicodemus was rich. He had it all. Something was missing in his life. The Samaritan woman was poor. She had nothing. She was an outcast. She was an adulteress. But something was missing in her life. After all the money is gone, something's missing. After all the fame is gone, something's missing. After all the drugs are gone, something is missing. After all the alcohol is gone, something is missing. And I will declare to you, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 14, the very next verse says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." If you take the water of this life and you drink of this water of this well and of this life and the things of this world, you're going to thirst again. If you've got a nice car, you'll want another one. If you've got $100,000, you want another $100,000. If you've got $1 million, you want another million. You'll always be thirsting if something is missing in your life. It's Jesus Christ. You can be rich, but something's missing. You can be poor, but something's missing. You may not have money. You may not have fame. Or you may not use drugs. You may not use alcohol. Good, that's great. But something's missing. You may live a clean, moral life. I can't say it more clear. Something's missing. So regardless of your status in this life, regardless of your status, something is missing if you don't have Jesus Christ living in your heart. And will always be missing. Regardless of your status. Then I want to say number two. Something's missing regardless of your service. Look at verse number 20 there in John chapter 4. Verse 20 says this. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And verse 22, Jesus said, ye worship, ye know not what. There are millions of people today in church, attending church. They're sitting in church. They're dressed up. They're looking good. But something's missing. Regardless of your service, something's missing in their lives. You go to church maybe because your parents went to church. Maybe because your grandparents went to church. And that's just something you got to do. You got to do. You got to go to church. But something's missing regardless of your service. You're not sure even why you go to church. You're not sure why you go. You say, well, I go to feel better about myself. I feel better when I go to church. It's because I'm worshiping Jesus Christ. Some people go to church maybe to make an appearance. Say, well, I went to church today. I'm going to go out to eat. And look, I'm in my Sunday best. People are going to think good of me. There's nothing wrong with looking good. But regardless of your service, there's something missing unless you have Jesus Christ. So regardless of your status, without Jesus Christ, something is missing. And regardless of your service, you can go to church every single Sunday of your life. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday, every revival meeting, every outreach you want to go to. But if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, something will always be missing in your life. Amen. Jesus Christ. I was born in a Baptist home, in a Christian home. And I was raised there. And I went to church every single, probably Sunday of my life. Never had a day without it. Unless I was sick or something like that. But that didn't mean a thing. That meant absolutely nothing. So regardless of your status, if without Jesus Christ, something's missing. Regardless of your service, without Jesus Christ, something is missing. Now I want to read a passage. Look in John 4 there. Look at verse 25 through 29. Now I want to, this is my third point. So regardless of your status, regardless of your service, but I see number three. I see the realization of the Savior. The realization of the Savior. Look at verse 25. It says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He's like, it's me. That conversation you've been having, that I've been having. And she's like, yeah, I know Messiah cometh, and he's going to tell us all things. Jesus said, how can I make it more clear? It's me. It's me that you're missing. It's me. 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman, this Samaritan woman. What's she doing? Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The realization of the Savior. It's so great when you have it all and you leave it, when you leave it all behind. She left her water pot. When you leave it all behind and you find Jesus and you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you finally found it in the realization of the Savior, it'll change your life forever. Amen. I remember one day on November the 7th, 1993. Some of you may have heard this story, but I never get tired of telling it. November the 7th of 1993, I was 15 years old. And like I said, I was raised in a preacher's home, a Christian home. I was raised. And I was 15 years old, and we had a special Sunday that November 7th, that Sunday morning. We had a special day. We were having a special preacher, and the house was packed. There was about 300 people there that day. And I was sitting in the back with my best friend, and I didn't think anything was wrong or missing. I was just going on with the normal cares of this life. I was writing notes back and forth until the preacher said, "I want everybody in this auditorium to have a piece of paper and a pen. I want you to answer some questions." So we thought that was kind of odd. That's weird. And so he passes it out, and he said, "Number 1 to 10 on your paper." I said, "I go to school all week. Why do I need to do this?" So he said, "Number 1 to 10. And so I numbered 1 to 10. And he said, "I want you to answer some questions for me." And so he went down the line, and he started talking. He kind of got my attention. He started talking about Jesus. And he started talking about heaven. And he started talking about hell. And I said, "Man, I don't want to go to hell." And for the first time that I can really remember in my life, the first time the realization of the Savior, I said, "I'm lost. Something is missing. That's what it is. That's what it is." And I remember that day, and I couldn't go forward because I was full of pride. And that day, and I was in the back, and I was writing notes, and in between answering these 10 questions, I was in the back just writing back and forth, "Hey, what are you doing today?" With my best friend, I was saying, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?" We were just going back and forth. But something caught my attention that day. I was like, "Oh, what is this?" And I honestly, my hands started to sweat. And I was like back there, I was kind of like on the chair of the pew. I was like hanging on. I was like, what's going on? This is not good. But it was the Holy Spirit conviction that day, and I realized that something was missing in my life, and it was Jesus Christ that was missing that day. And then I couldn't do it, and a lot of people came forward and said, "Yes, I want to be saved. I want Jesus Christ in my life." And they came and got saved, and it may have been about 15 people, and I was as stubborn as could be. I had so much pride, and I said, "I can't do it. I can't do it. What will people think of me? What will people think of me?" And then finally, my dad said, "Okay, I feel the Spirit's moved. That's enough. We're going to close it down." And so the piano player stopped playing, and he walked to the back, and he walked back there, and I grabbed him. I said, "Dad, I got to get saved. I need Jesus Christ in my heart." And that day, I realized that I needed a Savior. And my life has never been the same. Jesus Christ changed my life. Jesus Christ changed my life. And I'm so thankful for that day.
Amen.
So let me say this. Regardless of your status, you could be rich, you could be poor, you could be, it doesn't matter. You can be black, you can be white, you can be Chinese. It doesn't matter. Regardless of your status in this life, something is missing, and it's Jesus.
Amen.
Regardless of your service, you can sit in a pew Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, something will always be missing in your life. Why don't you make today the day that you get saved? Where you realize, the realization of your Savior saved. And Jesus saying, "It's me that you need." He told that woman, he said, "It's me. That's who you're talking about." And she left her water pot and she went and said, "Come see this man. He's told me everything that I did. Come tell, I want you to come meet this man. This is Jesus Christ." So I'm thankful for that day that I realized I needed a Savior. I was good. Well, no, I wasn't. I was not good. But I was pretty good. I wasn't in juvenile hall, or I wasn't missing school or getting kicked out, but I definitely wasn't good. But I was a normal kid and going to school, having fun, doing the normal things that I do, and going to church every single Sunday of my life, and revival on Wednesday. Every time the door was open, I was there. But that Sunday, I realized I needed a Savior. And He's changed my life forever. And I'm so thankful for that day. So if I could come and grab you, and show you in the Bible and take you to Romans 3 and say, "There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Why don't you realize that? I wish I could grab people today and say, if you're not saved, if you've never had, and something is missing in your life, man, I would love to take some time with you and just show you, and you can ask Jesus Christ in your heart today. it doesn't matter. Please put pride aside. Because like those kids that, or those people that were killed in an accident yesterday, you don't know what's going to happen. Don't go through that door back there and not have Jesus Christ in your heart. I beg you. I plead with you. It would make my day. It would make your eternity.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Sister Wanda, won't you come? And Robbie, come. I want every head bowed, if you don't mind. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're saying you're just a crazy, crazy Christian, you don't know what's going on, something's missing in your life. Jesus Christ is the answer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never had a time where you asked Him to come into your heart and to save you from your sins, would you raise your hands for like 2 seconds? I'll just pray for you. I'll just pray for you. I see some hands. Are there more hands? Just raise your hand and put it down. That's fine. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll meet you down in the aisle. Won't you come? Won't you come and we'll say a prayer together and you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He can forgive you of your sins. And He died on the cross for your sins. And He rose again. And He's in heaven. And He wants to hear you. He wants to answer your prayer. He wants to save your soul. Something's missing. Won't you get it right today? Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, dear Lord, I love You today. Lord, I pray that someone in here will come to know You today. They would be brave and step out and say, Lord, I need You, and admit it. And Lord, we'll embrace them with open arms. Lord, we love You today. Let Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.